A couple of recent surveys of Americans and religion show a growing percentage of people who do not consider themselves part of any church. Nearly 23% of the people who responded to a poll last year responded none when asked about their religious affiliation. That number includes roughly 3% of the population who call themselves atheists, according to the poll. They do not believe in a higher power, singular, multiple, whatever. Atheists plan a gathering in Washington, D.C. this summer. It is the second iteration of Reason Rally, and we have the founder of the first one right here. David Silverman is president of the group American Atheists. He founded Reason Rally in 2012. He wrote a book called Fighting God, and he visits Ashland for an event this evening sponsored by the Jefferson Center at 7 o'clock at the Hannon Library on the Southern Oregon University campus. Good to see you, David Silverman.
Thanks for having me on the show, Jeffrey.
So right off the bat, when I was talking about the Pew numbers I just cited, you apparently recrunched the numbers in your book, Fighting God.
Yeah, I recrunched the numbers because words are important, and we need to know what that means. And when somebody says they're not affiliated with any church, that doesn't mean they're atheists. And it doesn't mean, it actually doesn't mean very much. It means they're not affiliated with a church, but it doesn't mean the important stuff to me. So I recrunched the numbers. And of course, an atheist is defined as a person who doesn't have a belief in a God. Okay? It doesn't matter what they call themselves. And it doesn't matter if they know the universe, or it doesn't matter why they don't have a belief in a God. An atheist is a person without a God belief. So I recrunched the numbers, and I took out all the people who believe in God but call themselves none, and I added in all the people who don't believe in gods but call themselves Christians, Jews, agnostics, whatever, and secular humanists. And I came out with a defensible number of 27%. 27% atheist in this country today. But as you said, 3% of the country calls themselves atheists, which means 90% of the atheists in this country don't call themselves atheists. Now, we call ourselves anything else. We do call ourselves anything else, agnostic, secular, rationalistic, none, this, that, and we divide ourselves over literally nothing. Now, if you look at those same polls, they'll say, oh, this country is 75% Christian. It's not 5% Methodist and 3% Presbyterian and 2% this and 1% that. It's 75% Christian. But we, as atheists, we divide ourselves literally over nothing, making ourselves look tiny, making ourselves look insignificant. And so, and then we sit back and we say, oh, look at the Republicans. Look at the politicians. They're not paying any attention to us. Why? Well, it's because we divide ourselves over nothing. It's because we make ourselves look smaller. It's because when we say things like, I'm not an atheist, I'm an agnostic, we hoist the power that we should have, and we give it to the religion. We give it to religion. We push it on them. And what I'm saying, one of the things that I push in Fighting God is that it is our patriotic duty. It's not just important. It is literally our patriotic duty and our humanistic duty as atheists to call ourselves atheists, to own the word, and to use it on a regular basis to defeat the bigotry against us and to defeat this religious right that's permeating our – well, that has been permeating our religious discourse and still is. We can fight that, but we need to unify first.
So there's no room for squishiness in there. If somebody just thinks, well, you know, I can't be sure that there's no God,
they're an atheist.
Well, that's your definition. But yeah, if they choose to call themselves agnostics, you're saying
they can choose to call themselves professional football players if they like. Okay. if you don't have a belief in a God, if you don't know, if you're definitely sure, if you don't have a belief in a God, you're an atheist. If you don't have a belief in a God and you absolutely positively hate the word atheist, that's tough. You're still an atheist.
I'm always curious about how people come to their beliefs, and I understand that you have identified yourself as an atheist since age 6, is it?
Well, I haven't identified as an atheist since I was 6.
Ah, you were agnostic at some point?
I'm still agnostic, but that's not mutually exclusive to atheists, of course. Most agnostics, in fact, almost all of them are atheists. But my point is, I became an atheist at 6 by a different definition. I stopped believing in God and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus all at once in the backseat of my mother's car.
And that was an important ride.
It was an important ride. It was a life-changing ride. I still remember it very vividly. I was 6 years old. I was on the way to my grandmother's house in Chelsea, Massachusetts, and I lost all of it at the same time. And then I started to question. I was never in the closet. I started to question, started to talk to my mom about it. My mom completely brushed it off, told me to talk to the rabbi, told me to talk to my Hebrew school teacher, sent me to Hebrew school anyways, because it doesn't matter if you don't believe, you have to go anyways because Jew. And that's what they wanted. And so my mom needed to raise a Jew, and so she raised a Jew. And so she sent me to Hebrew school, Atheist Dave, going to Hebrew school 2 hours a day, twice a week for 2 years, for many years. And I was bar mitzvahed as an atheist, and I was confirmed as an atheist. And it was a very, very unpleasant experience for me, obviously. It's not like I was closeted, though. Everybody knew. Everybody knew I was. I've been an atheist, and well, except for the people at the, in the audience at my bar mitzvah who actually thought I believed what I was saying.
Ah, we have some calls for you. We're going to go first to Jamie in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with David Silverman, the president of American Atheists.
Yes, good morning, Jeffrey.
Howdy.
And guest,
Dave.
By Jove, doubting Jamie here, you practically stole my thunder, because basically I was going to put it to you that atheists, anti-theists, they are, their faith is just as strong as people who are believers, in my opinion. And I'd like to know what your comment and your reaction is to that. And then, Jeffrey, I'll take it off of the air.
All right, thank you, Jamie. Appreciate it.
So when you're addressing that question, you have to ask, what is faith? Okay, what kind of faith are we talking about? Do I have faith that I'm sitting in a chair right now? Do I have faith that I'm sitting in a room? Do I have faith in an invisible magic man in the sky? Faith is something that is relative, and you can have faith for lack. That's a word I never use because it's so relative and it's so mushy. It's like spiritual and energy. Well, energy is a physical thing, but it's like spiritual, right? It's such a soft thing. We have a list of facts that we in the as a species know to be true. Things that agree with those facts are considered to be true. It doesn't take faith in an invisible man in the sky to know that things that appear to be true that work with everything that we know in the universe to be true are true. If I said that there was a man who could fly like Superman, and you wanted to, and I was trying to convince you, I would need to prove it, because a man who can fly like Superman goes against everything that we know to be true. Now, if I said, no, man can't fly like Superman, you don't need faith for that. Okay, that's everything that goes along with everything that we know to be true. So when we hear people like this saying, oh, you need faith to be an atheist, these are people who are really, really trying to equate religion with reason. And reason, and they are very unequal. They are very unequal. Reason beats all religion. In fact, one of the things I'm going to tell you tonight is that the strength of the argument, the strength of the arguments is absolute. Atheism is the only argument which is logically consistent with everything that we know to be true. Every single religious argument fails that test. That's where the faith comes in. And that's where that's why religion is faithful, and that's why atheism is reasonable.
David Silverman is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. You can join in at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Email here from Julie No Town Given. She says, the basic essence of religious freedom, and she writes that in quotes, means that each individual has the right to believe as they choose, and each individual bears the responsibility to be tolerant of those who believe differently. Therefore, your belief in no God is your God. It is the belief of choice that you practice. It matters not what you call yourself or don't call yourself. In God we trust, she writes, reflects your right to also trust in what you believe. That from Julie.
So again, here's another person desperately trying to equate atheism with religion. Desperately. You don't believe, therefore you believe. It's like saying, I don't believe in a man in the sky, therefore I believe in a man in the sky. I don't believe in a man who can fly like Superman, therefore I believe in a man who can fly like Superman. No, we don't. You can actually be outside of all that. You can actually look at reality and judge reality for what it is. And to say that that is my God is just changing the definition. A God is a living, supernatural entity. You can't just say, okay, well, atheism is your God. That doesn't make any sense. It's like saying, well, you're just changing the definition of words. Words have meanings, and we need to stick to them.
We have another call here from Bill and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with David Silverman.
Hi, thanks for having me. I have a couple questions regarding to religion, Christianity, and Europe, old Western
okay, go ahead.
Countries, and also with the United States. And I heard that in Europe, the most religious country in Europe is actually Spain. I thought it'd be Italy, and they're only practicing at 28% Christians. But the most religious country in the Western world is the United States, and I heard that to be 65%. And that kind of scares me because, you know, United States, we're so religious. Why is our biggest exporting product killing machines? We export, that's our biggest exporting product, is weapon systems to kill people, wars. And also, in the United States, Christianity scares me to death to get elected. All the people like Bush and all these other politicians, all they have to do is throw a American flag on a Christian cross, and people follow them like sheep. And I just wonder if you could answer this couple questions for me.
All right. Thanks for that, Bill.
Well, Europe is far more advanced at us than at separating religion and government. They are far more understanding of the need to separate religion and government, and how the fact that religion and government separation is a synonym for religious freedom.
Oddly enough, though, this happens in countries where there often is an official state religion.
And that's an interesting phenomenon, that the separation of church and state here in America seems to have fostered a crazy amount of religion. Whereas if you have a country where they have a state church, all other churches are pushed down relative to the state church. So they're second class, so they don't flourish as much. And then the state church is pushed on by the government and people rebel against it. So that's why you have the Church of England and nobody believes in it. And that's why Germany, France, they all have state churches. But, I mean, Norway has a big cross on its flag. And it's one of the most secular nations in the world. And as a result, as regards to his second question, when we have politicians who have nothing to say, they say, God wants me to be president. They say, God wants me to be senator. And we need to rebel against that. We need to understand that, and we need to push that really hard, that when they say their God wants it, it's just another way of saying, I have nothing to say, and that's why you should accept me.
Another call from Greg in Grants Pass. Welcome to The Exchange with David Silverman.
Yes, can you hear me? You just went...
Hi, Greg, we're here.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we'll put you on the air.
Yeah, okay. It seems like there are a lot of wars that have been started for the purpose of of religion. I had a combat tour and became an atheist, and then when I came home, I had a cousin who was a nuclear physicist, and we started talking about, basically what has recently become like a God particle and even... Well, I believe that there was something there that was created, and I consider whatever that was, that instant, to be what God was, and nothing like modern religions. So am I an atheist or am I just agnostic?
So don't hang up.
Whoops, hang on. Okay, go ahead.
Are you still there, Greg?
Okay.
Yeah, so the question is this. Do you think there is a supernatural intelligence?
No.
You're an atheist.
All right.
That's all there is.
Greg, thanks. That was good.
Because gods are supernatural.
All right.
Okay? And I'm talking to a microphone right now. I'm talking into a microphone. And if I name this microphone God and say, I believe in God because I'm talking into it, I'm still an atheist. So if you use God as a substitute, as a metaphor for something physical, you're still an atheist. If a God is a supernatural intelligence.
Let's go to George and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with David Silverman. George, you there?
Yeah, thanks. I take issue with the atheists. I think they're about as radical as the emotional end of the Christian spectrum.
Why is that?
Well, if you take into account the double slit experiment around in physics for 100 years, which they...
quantum physics
acknowledge that consciousness affects light and therefore matter. Consciousness,
well, observation, not consciousness.
Yeah, is a separate thing from the physical world. And if you add into that orbitally rearranged monoatomic elements, which are in the National Patent Database, in which several sections of the periodic table are capable of going high spin with the nucleus going high spin.
So are you saying science proves the existence of God, George? I want to cut this a little shorter.
Well,
I think he's saying that we don't know everything, therefore atheists are fanatical. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a whole bunch of stuff that we don't know. That doesn't mean that there's an invisible man in the sky, and that doesn't mean that not believing in an invisible man in the sky, absent all evidence for it, is fanatical. It's logical and reasonable and absolutely not fanatical at all. That's kind of the definition of logic and reason.
All right, another call from Derek and Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, thanks. While I know I'm an atheist, I still love the bumper sticker, militant agnostic. I don't don't know, and you don't know either.
Yeah, that's funny. I've seen that. It's cute.
Yeah, and I so I guess I realized that when I realized when I was younger, the voice in my head wasn't God. It was just my conscience and a conversation with myself. I guess I had to question my faith in the Southern Baptist Church. But anyway, I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that, Derek. Appreciate that.
And remember, I don't know is still atheism. I don't know means you don't have a belief in a God. You are an atheist and an agnostic at the same time. Most people are.
All right. So another point on that from Scott in Ashland, who asks if your guest distinguishes between those who merely do not believe in a God and those who, like myself, affirmatively believe that there is no God.
Okay.
I fall into the latter category and self-identify as an atheist, but it might be beneficial to have terminology that distinguishes the two gradations of non-belief and disbelief.
Excellent question. And in fact, I talk about that in my book, Fighting God. I talk about conclusionary atheists like our friend here and non-conclusionary atheists, the people who don't know but don't have a belief in a God. Those people have not reached a conclusion about God, but they're still atheists because they lack a belief. Our friend here, like me, has done all the research and made all the decisions that he's made. He's come to the conclusion that there are no gods, and I believe he's correct, and I think he's quite brilliant because of it, by the way.
We only have a minute left to talk about Reason Rally.
And
what got it started?
The Reason Rally was started in 2012. It was the largest atheist event in world history ever. And we had 30,000 atheists in Washington, D.C. in the rain. It was a fantastic experience. And it's going to be a second one, a larger one, June 4th this year at the Lincoln Memorial. We have major stars coming, including Johnny Depp, Amber Heard, Bill Nye, Richard Dawkins.
Yeah,
we've got real great people coming, and everybody should come June 4th in Washington, D.C., reasonrally.org. And by the way, my organization is American Atheists at atheists.org.
Now, I notice you're trying to get some time with members of Congress, too. Do they tend to shun you as atheists, though?
Of course, but a lot of them are atheists, and we're trying to work with them. A lot of them are atheists who won't call themselves atheists.
Okay, Reason Rally is online. That's in June of this year, and David Silverman is the president of American Atheists. He'll be speaking to night at 7 at the Meese Room at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University, brought in by the Jefferson Center. David Silverman, thanks for visiting The Exchange.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show, Jeffrey.